the oil fields. It's part of the heart and soul of Eastern Montana and Western North Dakota. And Derek, Johnny, and the whole crew at Choice Construction is your go-to oil field construction company for any oil field job. Make your first choice, Choice Construction. Call 406-978-2197 or 978-2922 for any oil fields job. Again, those numbers are 406-978-2197 or 978-2922 for Choice Construction. Hello, Senator Daines. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well, Vaughn. Thank you.
It's so good to have you back, be able to talk to you again. We're becoming old friends at this point, I feel like.
Well, I know we're old, that's for sure.
And I think we can just get right back. We can get right into this if you're ready to go.
Absolutely, you bet, Ron.
All right, and I guess first and foremost, I think the big question on everybody's mind out here in Eastern Montana is how are things going, and your efforts to get the Keystone XL pipeline up and going again.
Well, we're not giving up, Vaughn. It's just absolutely remarkable and something that's upset so many of us across Montana and across our country that President Biden would unilaterally take a pen out and kill that project hours after he's sworn in. And the contrast, you think about, on one hand, President Biden kills our Keystone pipeline, but on the other hand, he just gave the green light for that Russian natural gas pipeline that is going to run from Russia to Germany, so that it keeps the Europeans dependent on Russian natural gas. I mean, you can't make this up. I wonder if he's got a T-shirt that says, you know, "Make Russian pipelines great again," because that's what he did. Mm-hmm. But the hypocrisy to cancel the pipeline in Montana—it's so important for our jobs. You know, I was out there in Baker several weeks ago. We had a meeting there at Spiffy's Mobile One with some of the community leaders. They said, talked firsthand around what's going to happen to the schools, even the hospital, the businesses, by canceling that project. So we're in the fight. We're fighting two angles. I've got a piece of legislation that would reverse that decision that we're working on. And second, I think there'll be some appeal to the courts, because I'm not convinced that's going to ride real well if we had an argument in front of some of our courts, frankly.
Yeah, do we have any sort of timeline on that, or is it just I know it's busy. There's a lot going on.
Well, the problem we have is that we've got too many folks who are back in Washington D.C. that don't want to have a balanced view of energy in our country. And I'm not opposed to renewable energy. What I'm opposed to is unilaterally killing off all of our traditional sources of energy. The president just announced they're going to shut down the Arctic National Forest, the ANWR up there in Alaska. That is a huge reserve forest there that allows us to keep more Made in America energy. But you've got these, frankly, very far left individuals back in Washington, in Biden administration, and people I serve with in the United States Senate and the House, that think that we should kill virtually all carbon-based energy. And that is a huge mistake. I mean, it's going to move us backwards. You remember back in the 70s, when we were dependent on the Middle East for oil, they had the Arab oil embargo, and gas prices skyrocketed, inflation came back, we had high interest rates. It was 18.6% for a 30-year fixed mortgage back in 1981 as a result of what happened with the price of oil. This is a big mistake. We're in such a strong position now in terms of Made in America energy. So the resistance are folks elected back in Washington. We don't have the numbers right now to overturn that decision. So that's why we're going to rely on the courts. I'm proud of our Attorney General, Austin Knutson, here in Montana, who signed on with other attorney generals who are going to fight this in the courts. But it's going to be a long process. And you know, I'll tell you what, Vaughn, elections have consequences.
Yeah, they absolutely do, and I think we're seeing that now, and in a lot of different ways out here too. Because I mean, we were in a strong position out here in Fallon County and over in Western North Dakota too. You get into the Bakken area where I mean, we were the some of the dominant oil producers in the world, and now we've lost that stage or that setting.
Yeah, do you know what's crazy, Vaughn? Is we're importing more oil right now from Russia, oil and other oil liquids from Russia, than we are from Saudi Arabia. And so when you take a look at what the Keystone Pipeline would do. You know, that's bringing, you know, it's Canadian oil, a big part of it. But another big chunk of that, of course, was North Dakota and Montana oil because of that Baker on-ramp that we had as part of the pipeline design. And that would have, you know, oil that's coming from America, North America, that's supporting our refineries down on the Gulf Coast instead of Russian oil. I mean, you can't make this up. The best way to keep Putin in check is to restrict the amount of natural gas and oil he can export, because that's how they get their financial resources to continue to, you know, to inflict the pain. Look at these cyber attacks that happened on that Colonial pipeline on the East Coast, that gas pipeline, that cyber attack right now that's hit one of our meat packers. Odds are those are probably of Russian origin. And so there's no reason why we should be continuing to prop Russia up by allowing them to keep exporting their oil. Let's have more Made in America energy.
Exactly. And I know you're working hard for us out there, but I know it just seems like more stuff just keeps getting thrown at you that you got to deal with. And you mentioned that the elections have consequences. And another thing that you're actively working on is this the federal takeover of elections, that with HR1 and S1 that you guys are battling in Washington right now too.
Well, Vaughn, what I'm really concerned with is the power grab we're seeing from my colleagues across the aisle. We heard a lot about their ideas of passing the Supreme Court. If they don't like the current court makeup, what are they going to do? Change the court from 9 justices to 13. Well, that's not the way you do it. The way you do it is when there's a vacancy, the president gets to nominate and the Senate confirms. And they don't like the fact right now that we have a Supreme Court that tilts on the more conservative side. Then you saw what they try to do with D.C. statehood. The reason they want to bring Washington, D.C. in as a state is because it gives them two far-left Democrat senators. They'll be there probably forever because of the nature of Washington, D.C. Politics, if that becomes a state. So that's not about D.C. having the right to vote. It's about having two more Democrat senators to put Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi in charge of Washington, D.C. for a longer period of time. But back on this other bill you just mentioned, it's House Resolution 1 or Senate Bill 1. This vote is going to happen in the next few weeks, according to Chuck Schumer. This, I think, should be called the Corrupt Politicians Act. It rewrites the rules, frankly, to favor the Democrats so they can win more elections. It would use taxpayer dollars to fund elections. Now, we all came through that crazy election last fall. We had a very expensive Senate race. I think the radio stations made some money on, which is a good thing, Vaughn, for
yes,
you. But
absolutely.
I tell you, you know, but these partisan attack ads, are they true of both sides? Do the taxpayers of Montana want to turn on their radios, their TVs, their digital ads, and say, oh, the taxpayer is now paying for that? That's what the Democrats want to do, use taxpayer dollars to fund things like Senate races. It's nuts. It also nicks voter ID requirements. Now, Montana put in place some common sense voter regulations here in the last 90 days, which just says you got to produce a valid, you know, driver's license, a photo ID to vote. I think that's pretty good common sense to make sure we keep integrity in our elections. If I go out and try to buy a deer tag or a fishing license, I show up to rent a car or check in a motel, you have to produce a photo ID. It's only reasonable to say when you have the chance and the right and the privilege to vote, you have to produce a photo ID. Guess what? This bill that Schumer's put on the floor would nix that. It would override and overrule some common sense rules that Montana just put in place in the last 90 days.
And, well, I mean, we did the last election. It did have the biggest voter turnout ever, and a lot of that was from mail-in ballots and stuff like that. I mean, isn't the eventual goal, though, to get as many Americans to vote as possible?
There's two goals, Vaughn. One is to make sure that as many Americans vote as possible, right? Because, and we saw that in this last election. You're exactly right. We had huge turnout across the country. But there's a second really important part, and that is to make sure that we have integrity in the elections, that you eliminate the fraud and the potential for fraud in our elections. That's why just having a photo ID in place is one good way to make sure that when we wake up the day after the election, we can say, yep, we trust the results, yep, we believe what happened there, and move forward. That's a really important part of our democracy, and we don't want to loosen up these common sense kind of provisions that ensure that we all can rest at night knowing that our elections were fair and they were free.
So the dream of giving us a federal holiday for Election Day, probably not going to happen anytime soon?
I don't think so, Vaughn. I think right now, Vaughn, the problem I'm hearing from most of our small businesses around our state is that we need more people to get back to work right now. So, we've got a lot of help wanted, hiring kind of signs all over our state. And I tell you, I'm real proud of our governor, Gianforte, who a few weeks ago led the country. He was the first governor that said, you know what, it doesn't make sense to pay people more money to stay home than to go back to work. That's called common sense. And this was an issue of being lazy, Vaughn. It's just logic. If you take a look at, I can make $16-17 an hour staying home. Maybe I'll just stay home instead of get back on the job. And Greg Gianforte led the nation. He was the first governor to get out and say no more this additional federal unemployment benefit that was needed during the height of the COVID pandemic, but not needed now. And 21 states have followed his lead. So I was really proud of Montana to get out in front of this, to get folks back on the job and get folks back on the payroll.
Is there anything going on at the federal level to that end? I mean, are you guys working on anything? Or are you just leaving this up to the states at this point, trying to get people back out to work?
Well, if we had it our way, we'd suspend that $300 current federal benefit immediately. I think it goes through September now. But the problem, Vaughn, we have is that we don't have the votes to do that. We've got a 50-50 Senate at the moment, and we just don't have enough of my Democrat colleagues who would agree with us on the Republican side that we should end that provision and create the incentive to go back to work. Again, there was a moment in time when we needed it, when things were, it was pretty tough last April, May, when because of oftentimes government mandates, it forced businesses to shut down. Those were tough times. But now we're open again, and we should remove that that incentive that pays people more to stay home than to go back to work. But frankly, we can't get enough Democrats to support us on that.
Well, as the only DJ currently working at this radio station, we could use some more employees coming out and working for us. I would be very much in favor of that.
Well, you're not alone, Vaughn. You travel around. You go into some of our small cafes or fast food places. There, everybody's struggling right now to find people to come back to work.
Is there an easy way? I mean, is there an easy way to fix that? I mean, does it require raising minimum wage? Is there an easy way to fix that, or is it just we just encourage people to get back to work?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is just ensure that you're not paying people more money to stay home than go back to work. That's just a fundamental incentive that needs to change. Because right now, going back to work is disincentivized in many cases. And so that's probably the most important thing you could do. And on the minimum wage piece, I really believe strongly that should be a state issue and not driven by the federal government, because every state sees their labor market a little bit differently. I don't want to have a uniform federal wage that might work in places like New York or California, but might not work so well in Montana. And so, Montana's minimum wage is higher than the federal. So I think we ought to just let Montanans sort that one out, not Washington, D.C. Generally, Vaughn, when Washington, D.C. stays out of the affairs of Montana, we're in a much better place.
We sure are. But I know you're working hard for us. And I know you're busy, so I'm going to let you go, Senator. But thank you for talking with us.
Hey, Vaughn. Good to chat.
All right. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Vaughn. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Talking with Senator Steve Daines from the great state of Montana. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on Twitter. You can go to daines.senate.gov to learn more about what he is doing for the state of Montana and what's going on. And of course, listen to the news here on Baker Radio. You can always check out radiobaker.com as well. And if you missed any part of this interview, we are going to have it online. So make sure you listen to the full interview with Senator Steve Daines at radiobaker.com.